Amen. Well, good morning. And hey, it's good to be up here again. I've been out of pocket for various reasons for the last couple of weeks, and haven't been preaching various times throughout that time. But it's a blessing to be back here again and opening up the Word together. And let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord. I thank you for each heart that's here. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ's presence here with us. Lord, above all, He's the one that we need here with us. Father, I thank you for this time together around your Word. I pray as we open it that you would open our hearts and that you would bring to our attention and call to our remembrance. And Father, that you would cause us to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This morning I want to work on a topic that came to mind as I've been listening through the book of Hebrews a couple of times in a row recently. And it's an interesting topic, and I don't want to sound irreverent in saying this, but it's interesting that there's a particular place in Hebrews where it talks about the Word of God, the powerful Word of God, being presented to a heart and not accomplishing anything. That is just almost incomprehensible. But in Hebrews chapter 4, we'll start with verse 1. In Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, he says here, "Let us therefore fear," and this isn't terror or worrisome fears, but a reverence that produces carefulness. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." The promise is there. God's made a promise. He's opened up a way of salvation. He's opened up a way that he has determined and laid out for us to walk, to arrive at heaven, and to walk with him through the journey getting there. But he says, be careful, be on guard, lest this promise being left us, you still fail to receive it. You fail to come to the full reception and enjoyment of what's been paid for and purchased and bought and been promised. But he says, lest any of you seem to come short. Verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them." This powerful word of God that was preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. This word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, this word of God did not profit them. How is that possible? It was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3 says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." That was the qualification for why we've entered into rest. We've believed. "We which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." This work of Christ, this work of salvation, the Bible tells us in another place that Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. This work was a completed reality that some of the Old Testament saints, well, all of the Old Testament saints that we see, they tapped into this. This was a work that was completed. There was a way set. There was a way to come into the presence of God. There was a way to be made right with God. And he says that that work was finished from the foundation of the world. God was willing to apply that finished work of Calvary from the foundation of the world to any heart who what? Believed. How can you have the most perfect, complete work of Christ and yet it doesn't affect a soul if it's not mixed with faith in them that heard it? If it's not mixed with faith. It's almost incomprehensible that a person could hear the Word of God. That powerful Word of God and that finished work on the cross and all the mighty things that God has done on our behalf and has opened up this way for all mankind, all who will may enter in. But it doesn't profit you at all to even be soaked in it, absolutely drenched in it, if you don't mix it with faith. If it's not mixed with faith in them that hear it. That's mind-blowing. Mind-boggling. The only thing that hopefully this Word of God being preached to them, if it's not mixed with faith, the only thing that hopefully it can begin to accomplish if they continue to hear it, is that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So maybe if they continue to hear it and they start to slowly hear it more correctly and more properly and actually take it into their hearts, maybe it'll begin to develop that faith that is needed to be mixed with it. But it's amazing to me that he says here that the Word of God, the gospel being preached in power, profited them nothing. Profited them nothing. For one reason only. It's not that the Word of God wasn't as powerful as normal. It's not that the way of salvation isn't wide open like normal. It's not that Christ didn't already pay every single thing that was needed. But it didn't profit them because they didn't add in and mix with it their faith. I'm a tradie. I do construction. So my mind goes to two-part epoxy and various other types of two-part adhesives that we have and we use regularly. And some of these are some of the most powerful adhesives available to mankind. But it needs a catalyst. It needs a catalyst. You can squeeze out a mountain of one part of that two-part epoxy, and it'll just sit there and sag and stay soft and squishy until it finally dries out to the point where it becomes brittle and hard, but it won't actually adhere anything together. It won't actually accomplish the purpose that it was created to accomplish. Is it because the power of adhesion isn't there? No. It's because it didn't have the catalyst mixed in. And spiritually speaking, your faith is like the catalyst that you must mix with the Word of God when it comes to you, when it's presented to you, that takes that powerful Word of God from just nice concepts and ideas that float around and you go, oh yeah, that's cool, to take it and to adhere it and apply it to my life personally, where it begins to affect and change and work the work of God in my heart. Not just that there's plenty of it to go around. Not just that it's all there and available, but it actually has an effect on me. I have to take that Word of God and mix faith in God, in His Word, with it and apply it to my life. All of a sudden, There's all the power in the world. Did that catalyst have power? No. The power was already there in the Word of God. But it didn't apply to me until I accepted it and mixed in with it my faith and acceptance and belief and trust. Till I took it and applied it to me personally, to my life, to my situation. And I said, God, your word applies to me. I need your help. I need your aid. I need your salvation. I need your mercy and your grace. It's all there. Abundantly free. But it does me no good for there to be mountains of it there if I don't mix it with faith in them that hear it. If it doesn't come into my heart and I don't accept it and receive it and apply it to my life and believe it and hang on, if I'm hearing the Word of God, I'm reading the Word of God, I'm taking in some of those things, but I'm not really grasping them with my heart. I'm not really taking them and holding them by faith. I'm going to give it a try, see if it works. Yeah, it's not going to work. Sorry. It's not going to work. If I take God at His word and I hang my life on it, I will see God do amazing things in my life. But not if I'm saying, well, I'll see. I remember when I was growing up, Dad saying about how, you know, if you say to the Lord, Lord, show me your will and then I'll decide if I want to do it, you're not going to find out His will. But if you say, Lord, I am committed to doing your will. Please reveal it to me. Jesus said, if you will to do my will, if you've already decided and planned and set your course of action, I will follow you come what may, then you will know. If any man will to do my will, then he will know of my doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You have to will first. You have to be willing to say, yes, God, I trust you, I believe you, what you say is true, even if I can't understand it, even if I can't see how that could possibly work, you said it. So I accept it. I hang on to it, I build my life on it, I mix it with faith, and all of a sudden, it starts to have an effect. It starts to be profitable in my life. It's not that I'm adding anything to the Word of God, but if I don't have a receptive environment to take it in and to mix in faith, it can't accomplish what it was sent forth to do. God, I don't understand all of the things that you command me to do. God, I don't understand how things could work. Some of these things, how they can work the way that you say they work. I don't understand how, who you are, all these various things. But God, I take you at your word. I surrender my life to you. Help my unbelief. There's been many times in my life, especially early on as a Christian, that there were many things that I just couldn't really understand. And there's still many things I don't understand. But there were many things that I didn't understand. And I couldn't grasp them. But it's amazing if you simply take God at His word and believe what He says and begin to build your life and live your life on that word of God, little by little it begins to make sense. Oh, that's how it works. Oh, that's what you meant. That now I can see, and you begin to get more of a perspective of eternity and understand things, but you don't do that just trying to reason it out in your mind. You're never going to get there. But if you start off of the premise and the basis of God, you're right, you know all, I'm wrong, I know nothing. If you say this is the way it works, if you say this is what I need to do, then by your grace, I'm going to do that. Guess what? As it begins to unfold in your life, all of a sudden you go, oh, now I understand. And some of those aha moments aren't going to happen until eternity. But we still follow and obey as He leads and He guides. We follow His word. We take His word that's given to us. We take it, we mix it with faith, we apply it to our lives. And it works. Because God knows far more than I do. He's far more intelligent and wise and powerful than I am. Just because I can't comprehend it doesn't mean it's not so. There's a lot of stuff I can't comprehend. That doesn't make them not so. If God said it, that's the way it is. I don't have to understand it. I have to believe it. I have to accept it. I have to surrender my will to His will and begin to shape my life around His word. Guess what? It'll begin to produce the fruit that He intended it to produce in my life. Not by me coming to a fuller understanding, but by God's powerful word and working in my life, having the effect that that much power has. You can't get run over by a semi and not be affected by it. You can't have the Almighty God of the universe stirring and working in your heart and not begin to change and be affected by it. But that effect comes from that word being accepted and believed, taking my and mixing it with my faith, saying, God, I can't understand it. I can't fully grasp it, but You know all, and I trust You. It works. If I am going to try to get into a canoe off of a dock, but I don't really trust that canoe. I don't really trust that it's going to hold my weight. I don't really trust that it's going to keep me from getting wet and drowning. If I'm hedging my bets and I'm keeping one foot on the dock and trying to hang on and leaning out, trying to hang on, guess what happens? Yeah, it doesn't work. I tip over in the water. But if I get in and I get all the way in, and I set and plant myself, and I put my confidence in it, and I'm not leaning out over the side curious about what I'm missing out there, and I'm not trying to hang on to some of my old stabilities that I really like, guess what? It's more than sufficient to hold 20 of me. But I have to trust it. I have to believe it. I have to put confidence in it. If you try to stand on one foot on the dock and one foot in the canoe, you're going in the water. It's probably not going to take very long. If you're trying to stand one foot in, well, God, You say it, you know, You say this and this and this, and I want to believe You, I want to trust You, but I'm going to hang on over here too just to make sure that, you know, if it doesn't quite work out, that I'm not completely up a creek. Guess what? You're going to be up a creek. You have to trust your Father. You have to trust. If you don't place your faith in Him, in His Word, fully rely on Him. Get into it. Say, get into the boat. Say, God, I'm leaving all the rest behind. I'm not going to hang on to my ideas of how it ought to be or how it should be or what it's going to look like. I'm not going to hang on to my little comfort zone and my little idea of what I want my life to be. I trust You. You're in control. I want to be Your servant. Here's my life. Do with me what You want. When I hear the Word of God, I take it in and I simply take it at face value. I don't try to argue against it or figure out why it is or isn't the way it is. I just simply say, Father, You know best. If this is what You say, then I accept that. I trust it. I receive it. I'm going to mix faith with it and apply it to my life. All of a sudden, it does have profit in those that heard it, in me. In Mark 9, we read the story of the young man who was demon-possessed. And his father called the disciples and asked them to cast the devil out of his son. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. So he comes to Jesus and he says, hey, I need some help here, and your disciples are kind of falling down on the job. I need some help here. And Jesus says, oh, faithless generation. Oh, faithless generation. It wasn't that the power wasn't available to do what they were requesting and asking. It wasn't that God didn't desire to free that young man from the bondage of the devil. But Jesus says, oh, faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And then he asked the boy's father, he said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe. God's power was sufficient, but you have to believe it for it to have an effect in your life. You have the Son of God standing before you, but you have to believe it for it to affect you and have any profit in your life and in your heart. And the child of the father immediately, the father of the child, he immediately cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He realized this is the only option, the only choice, the only opportunity that I have. I don't know if I believe enough. I don't know if I am able to mix faith with the Word of Christ that's spoken to me. I don't know. I want to. I want to. To the best of my comprehension and the best of my ability, I believe. But I know that that's not enough. Christ, help thou mine unbelief. And guess what? That young man was healed perfectly. Restored perfectly. The demons couldn't hang on to him with one little finger or hold on to him anymore because Christ Jesus was there and he was powerful. But what would have happened if that father had said, well, I mean, if you want to, sure. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I think we could try it anyway. No, you're not going to see your son restored. But he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And in a moment, Jesus delivered that young man and healed him and restored him to his parents. It's a beautiful story. And this is by far not the only time through the Gospels that we see this theme repeated again and again, numerous times by Christ. According to your faith, be it unto you. If you believe, as you believe, was Christ's power limited? No. But it doesn't have effect in your life unless you mix it with faith. It's got all the power necessary, but it can't be applied to you unless you take it and believe it and hang on. I can drown in that ocean of the power of God, but it won't have an effect in my life until it becomes personal. Until I receive it by faith. Take hold of it. Hang on to it. In John chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus here has been having this long debate. It's a very long debate and discussion that Jesus had with the Jews and particularly with the Pharisees here. And they keep on badgering him. And finally, at one point down here in verse 42, they're like, all right, why are you hiding this from us? Just tell us plainly, are you the Son of God or not? Well, he's done told them 3, 4, 5 times already in that very conversation. So in verse 43, he says, why do you not understand my speech? Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's not like I'm speaking in riddles. Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Why, Jesus? Because you were whispering? No. Why couldn't they understand his words? Because they already didn't believe him. They'd already determined that they weren't going to accept it and believe it and accept him. It's not because he wasn't speaking clearly. The word that was being preached to them profited them nothing. Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. They had the very Son of God himself in the flesh standing in front of them, explaining things to them and talking to them, and it profited them nothing. Because it wasn't mixed with faith in them. It's almost incomprehensible that you could stand in the presence of God Almighty in the flesh and it not affect you. But it has to go internal. It has to go internal. It has to be applied to my life where it doesn't profit me. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 18, he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Why is their heart blind? Why are they walking in darkness and not able to understand this obvious, clear, blazing, shining light of the gospel? Romans 1, verse 17 through 22 tells us. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They have the truth around them, but they're not taking it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21 is key. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Why are they walking in darkness? Because when the light began to dawn, they said, oh, I don't want that. I like my darkness. I'm comfortable and happy here, and I don't want that. If there's a God, then I'm responsible to Him. And you know what? I'm my own person. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to be responsible to a Creator. I don't want to be responsible to an all-powerful, all-righteous, holy being who's going to hold me accountable. Nope. And they denied the light that was given. Why are they blind? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Brothers and sisters, that can be possible to a lesser degree in yours and my life if we don't take what we learn and hear and understand of God from His Word, from His Holy Spirit instructing and teaching and guiding us. If we don't take those things and mix them with faith and receive them and accept them and apply them to our lives, we can begin to have a portion of blindness spiritually. He says that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened in the presence of all-permeating light. Their heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It wasn't for lack of light. It was for lack of proper response to that light. And where did we start? In Hebrews? Let us therefore fear. Reverence that produces carefulness, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Be on guard, my dear brothers and sisters. The Word of God is quick and powerful and will accomplish amazing things in my life if I let it come inside and I take hold of it by faith. But I can be submerged in the truth all of my life and it not profit me anything if it's not mixed with faith. You see that. I'm sure we've all seen young people who grew up in a Christian home, hearing the truth of the gospel preached from the youngest age possible, and they never applied it to their life. They never mixed it with faith in their life. They've been surrounded by it, permeated by it their entire life, but it profited them nothing because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let us fear, therefore, Hebrews says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you automatically have the light? No. You have to take it in from the face of Jesus Christ. You have to receive and stare into His face. Absorb from Him this light. How do you receive the light of the knowledge of the glory of God? It's in the face of Jesus Christ. It's as you look deeply into His face. As you spend time with Him, as you get to know Him, as you sit and look deep into His eyes, so to speak, as young lovers will do, to see each other's soul and learn to know one another. It takes that faith to look at Him as your Savior, who you need desperately. And to continue looking in His face as He leads you and changes you and purifies you, conforming you to Himself. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that each one of us, as we hear and we read and we take in Your Word, Father, that it would profit us by being mixed with faith in our hearts. Father, that it would accomplish the work that You sent it forth to do in my life, in each one of our lives. Father, that we would continue receiving and applying and planting those seeds of truth and the Word of God in our hearts by faith. Father, that we would be conformed more and more day by day into the image of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen.